This program is brought to you by Abiding Above Ministries.
So if you will, turn to John chapter 15. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. And I want to read a passage here that when I was in my 20s, really changed the direction of my life. And it's really simple, but it's a different way of seeing some things in life. So John chapter 15, verses 4 through 5, Jesus, who is God, is speaking here. And listen to what he says here. He says, "Abide in me," and notice this, "and I in you, as the branch cannot." Now notice he says, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. He said, "I am the vine." He said, "You are the branches." The Bible says the common people heard Jesus gladly because he taught in a way they could understand. He said, "He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." So John 15, 4 and 5, let me just look at this again. Notice he says, "Abide in me." Then he says, "I in you." Then he says, "Abide in me." And then he says, "I'm the vine." In other words, he's the tree, if you want to call it that. "You are the branches." Branches are connected to the tree or to the vine. He says, "He who abides in me and I," and he's going back and forth, and he's talking to all of us as Christians. This is what he's saying. And I wished I had known this when I was your age. He's saying, if you truly are a child of God, I'm in you. And that is by the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all God. One God. The Bible is clear. If you're a child of God, he lives in you. And not only that, and I didn't learn this till later in life, but God sees me already in him because I'm in Christ Jesus. It's finished. Satan does not want you to know this. Satan wants you to try by this world system, basically to become like Lucifer, the way he was before we know him now as Satan, Beelzebub, the devil. He was the most beautiful of all the angelic beings, and he said in his heart, "I will ascend to be like the Most High God." If you think about what's going on in this world system, people, human beings, want to be worshiped. And they don't know they're doing this. They don't know what it's called. They've got a craving to be worshiped. And when they don't get it, it makes them angry. You see, because sin originated in the heart of Satan. God put him out of heaven. And listen to this. A third of the angels followed him. They were in the direct presence of God. And they looked at God. They looked at Lucifer. They looked at God. They looked at Lucifer. And decided, "I'm going to go with Lucifer." That means I'm going away from God to follow someone God created. That's still happening today with actors and actresses, musicians, sports stars. There are only a few when you think about 8 billion people on earth, but many of the 8 billion people on earth are trying to be like a human being that is satanic, evil, wicked, and demonic. We're to be becoming more like Christ, not more like Lucifer. The way I see it, you've got Lucifer, Satan, and you got God. There is a war going on. It's very obvious in the days in which we live. People are either becoming like one or the other. You say, "I don't want to be like Lucifer." Okay, let me tell you this. Why did a third of the angels follow Lucifer? Away from God. You see, he's not always spooky, wearing a red suit with a pitchfork in his hands. You might be surprised who you enjoy watching and listening to that is fully possessed by a demon. You see, because they're not always spooky. Matter of fact, Lucifer was attractive. He was the most beautiful of all the created angels, the light bearer. That's why a third of the angels went with him, because he was charming, but he was still Satan. And hell is prepared for him, and he's building his kingdom. So think about this. The rest of your life, the vine and the branches. If God is the vine and I'm the branch, according to what Jesus is saying here in John 15, 4 and 5, here's God and here is you and me. We're grafted into God. The Holy Spirit is the sap that runs from the vine into the branch, and out comes the fruit of the Spirit. The reason Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing, is exactly true. If you try to have the appearance of the Spirit-filled life, you're actually doing it in your own energy. When it's real, it's actually the Spirit of God living His life through you. God's the vine, you're the branch. The Holy Spirit is the sap that runs through the vine, and out comes the fruit of the Spirit. Not because you produced it, but because the Holy Spirit in you produced it. So you say, what does the fruit of the Spirit look like? Well, if you will, turn to Galatians chapter 5 and listen to verses 22 and 23. You say, okay, if I'm a child of God, Jesus is saying, I'm in you and you're in me. Just like a branch is in the vine and the vine is in the branch. Correct. That's what God said in His Word. It's very true. Well, then what does it look like? Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the very first one, is what? Love. That is not human love. Even people who are atheists said, I don't believe there is a God. They genuinely can love other people and they can receive love from other people. Sometimes that's what delays them from coming to Christ, because sometimes they look at us Christians and say, you know, I think I've got more love in my heart than they do. But that's phileo love. That's human love. It's not agape. The only people that can have agape love is children of God. Those who believe in what Christ has done on the cross and have asked Him to come into their heart and save them, they're the only ones, my friend, that can have this kind of love, the highest eternal love. Love, agape. Phileo, everybody has that. Agape, only those who believe have that. And I want to tell you, in the days ahead, you're going to need to understand more of agape love in the days ahead. So, the very first fruit in Galatians 5 is love. And I believe that all other fruits come from the first fruit of love, because God is love. All right. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And then notice, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what it looks like. If you go down to Florida and look at the mango trees, you'll see apples all over them. No, you won't. You'll see mango all over them. Listen, if you are a child of God and people watch you and listen to you from a distance, do they see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, long-suffering, and self-control? Or do they say, I don't see that? According to Scripture, you're either a child of Satan or you're a child of God. There is nothing in between that. It's either one or the other. Jesus told the Pharisees that they were children of the evil one. But they knew God's Word very well. Isn't that interesting? What I'm saying is this. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So when people are with you, do they see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, long-suffering, or self-control? Or do they see someone wishing that people would worship them by their personal appearance, by their musical voice, and it's good to sing unto the Lord. I agree 100%. Or by trying to be famous, well-known. What's that drive in us? It's the exact opposite of God. Jesus humbled Himself to the point of death on the cross for all of us. And He is God. He's our substitute. And so, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And if you're a child of God, Jesus said that you're in me and I'm in you. If you're not a child of God, You're a child of Satan. It's that simple in Scripture. I know it sounds horrible, but that is what the Bible teaches. But the love that we see displayed, the agape love at the cross, makes all of this even more convincing, because why in the world would God the Father send God the Son to die on the cross to a world of humans who were children of Satan? He did it because He loves. So, if He's the vine and we're the branches, and the Holy Spirit is the sap that runs from the vine through the branch, are people seeing Christ, or are they seeing Satan? That's where things are. You say, okay, let's learn a little more about this love. If I'm in Christ, according to what Jesus said, and Christ is in me, and the very first fruit is agape love, which is higher than brotherly love, phileo, what does this love look like? What does it look like? Well, we see it in 1 Corinthians 13. If you will, turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Listen to what Paul has to say about agape. Look now, it's not eros. Eros is what a man and woman have between each other. It's romance. It's not phileo, which is brotherly love. Even people without Christ have that. This is agape. And the only way you have this love is if you believed and you've received Christ, who now is in you and you're in Him. All right? With that in mind, I want to read 1 Corinthians 13, talking about this higher love, this eternal highest love, because remember, God is love. All right. Paul says, if I speak with the tongues of men, and I do believe that's languages, not gibber jabber. You say, why don't you think it's gibber jabber? Because one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. It's not gibber jabber. It is a language. And I've traveled the world. I've been in many languages, especially Swahili. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. How can someone continuously rightly divide God's word and nothing ever happens, and they become angry because they feel rejected by other people? It's because agape love is either missing or it's not surrendered to. All right? Verse 2. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, he said, I am nothing. What did Jesus say? Apart from me, you can do nothing. He's saying, if you have the gift of prophecy, know all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, he said, I am nothing. See, we have to be careful as children of God. We may want to be worshiped for what we know, and not even realizing that is our motive. And then when we're not worshiped by other human beings, we become angry and resentful. And you know what? Our life becomes a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. It's almost like this. I know you're supposed to be a Christian, but it's like I don't even want to hear from you because it doesn't line up with what God's Word teaches. All right? Because what we see is love missing. All right? Verse 2. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. Verse 3. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor. You say, is that not a good thing? Absolutely is a good thing. Teaching God's Word is a good thing. Understanding the Word of God and being able to teach the Word of God is a good thing. But what he's clearly saying here, and no excuse, he says, but without love, you're nothing. He said it profits nothing. And this love is the very first fruit of the Spirit, because this love is God, and it's only in true believers. The vine and the branches. You're in Him, He's in you. So is He coming out of you? You say, not really. Either He's not there or He is there and you're quenching and grieving Him. It's like putting a basketball on the water in the pool. You hold it down, it stays there. You let go, it comes right back up. If we're not careful as children of God, and I've actually done this, in my teen years, in my 20s. It wasn't that God wasn't in me, but I kept Him down. I quenched and grieved Him because I wanted to be worshiped, admired, and loved by my peers, other human beings. So, verse 3, and if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, in other words, I'm willing to go and stand on the streets of Nairobi, Kenya, and if they kill me, they kill me. If they burn me, they burn me. I do this all for Christ. But if we don't do this in love, what does it say? But do not have love, it profits me nothing. A lot of what we're doing when we're being dramatic and serving the Lord is we're wanting people to worship us instead of worship Him. And we don't know we do this. Verse 4. What is it then? What is it? All right, this is it. Verse 4. Love is patient. Let me ask you, do you have one or two people in your life right now that you are fed up with? You're tired of them. And if we could get your phones right now and read your text for the last 2 weeks, we would find out who the person is. Because you're texting people what they said, what they did, and all this. One of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. In other words, the truth is, I'm not surprised they said or did what they did because they're humans. And that's what we do. We're supposed to be as patient with other people as God has been with us. Let me ask you, has God been patient with you? Even this morning? We're to be that patient with other people. You say, I can't. Correct. Jesus said you can't. But He always said He would, if you'll abide in Him. You see, He is Mr. Patience. And when you say, I can't handle any more from these people, the way they're treating me and what they're saying and what they're doing, what you're saying is, I don't have a God in me to rely on to be patience in me that I don't have. What you have to say is this, I'm in Christ, Christ is in me, He's the vine, I'm the branch. The Holy Spirit from the vine and to the branch that produces the fruit of patience is the Holy Spirit in me, living through me, these members and these bodies, and He is my patience because I simply don't have it. Amen? The sooner, my friend, you learn this, the better. Oil in the lamp, gas in the car, Christ in the Christian. Not knowing this, you will go into your grave at 97 and be buried 6 foot under, having tried hard to be like Jesus all your life, realizing I never did do it because the flesh profits nothing. It has to be Him living in and through you, or it's nothing. So love is patient and love is kind. We can all act kind when other people are looking. What would motivate me or you to act kind when other people are looking? We want to be worshiped for our kindness. Instead of letting it be the kindness of the Holy Spirit flowing through me as I simply abide in Him, just like a baby on his mother's breast, simply being held by her, secure by her, taking nourishment from her, we're to be that way. He says, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Why would we get jealous? Because this guy's dating a girl that you want to date. Why would we get jealous? Because this guy, he can play sports better than me and he doesn't even practice. This person makes straight A's and they don't even study. Why did God make them that way? Why does that bother you instead of make you proud of them? Because you want to be worshiped. Hey, look, I'm 62. I'm seeing all this in my life, so therefore I can see it in your life. We can see it in the lives of one another. And this world is looking for men and women. When people see them, they see Christ. That's what they're looking for. And this could be the last spiritual movement that'll ever happen in humanity, is if some men and women, boys and girls, would choose to walk in the Spirit until they walk in the Spirit without choosing. Be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of the mind. How you think determines what you do next, determines how you feel. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. Well, I'll be. Why do we brag? Listen, why do we have to make sure everybody knows how well I did? Why do we brag? We want to be worshiped. What happened to Lucifer? He wanted to be worshiped. Donald Gray Barnhouse said somehow the glory of God from creation came by Lucifer getting to God, and he reached out and took just a little bit to himself. And that came down from heaven to earth. When God put Lucifer out of heaven, along with a third of the angels we now know as demons, and he's known as Satan and the devil, they came in and tempted the first couple, Adam and Eve, and they sinned. The Bible says that the serpent, Satan, disguised himself. He was a serpent. He deceived Eve, and her husband was standing right there with her, Adam. He could have grabbed her by the ponytail and drug her across the garden to get her away, but he didn't. He stood there while she was being tempted, while she was being deceived, and she ate. And the Bible says she turned and gave it to her husband. And what did he do? He ate. Listen, all of us came from the loins of Adam. All of us, all of human race, or there would be no humans on earth. We're all in the same fix. We're either in Christ, and Christ is in us, or we're children of Satan. Don't die without Christ, my friend. Don't die without Christ. So, he says, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous, does not brag, and is not arrogant. You ever seen someone that was arrogant? I mean, they can strut when they're sitting down. They're so arrogant. Why would a person be arrogant? They're trying to prove to you what secretly they doubt about themselves. And if they can see that they're proving to you and you look up to them, then they think, well, I guess it is true of me. And they live their whole life doing that. Well, what are they really after? They're wanting to be worshiped. By the way they look, by what they drive. Why do they want you to hear their music in their car? What's the purpose? Why does everybody want to be admired and worshiped? Because it originated with Lucifer. And if you're not a child of God, you're a child of Satan. It is what it is. You must turn and go to God. Love does not act unbecomingly. You say, what is unbecomingly? I saw it Saturday at the St. Patrick's Day parade. Girls wearing clothes, they almost looked naked. So it's wrong for a man to look at pornography, right? It is equally wrong for a woman to take her clothes off. Why does she want men that she does not know to look at her because she's almost naked? She wants to be worshipped. That's what drives. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Do we live in a world where everybody is seeking its own? That is a fruit of Satan. That is not a fruit of the Spirit. You can listen to somebody and watch them, and it's evident where they're going to spend an eternity. It's very clear, unless they turn to Christ, who was perfect, who became our sin and died on the cross as our substitute, and you either believe or receive. And if you'll notice, you're not getting younger, you're getting older. You did not have to teach a child how to disobey. You had to teach them how to obey. Why do babies and children have to be taught not to misbehave? They come out of the womb misbehaving because they were born dead in their trespasses and sins. They can be researched all the way back to Lucifer. Pride springing up in his heart. And that's the reason pride is the sin that God hates the most. So it does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. I'm still having a hard time with that one. I can be provoked. I know this. And I can still be provoked. Just the other day, and I'm confessing, I was going through a car wash. It's one of those where you pull in a little ways, you put it in neutral, and you go right behind the other person. Then you don't do anything till it gets out to the other side. I like that. Came my turn. There was no attendant there, but everything was still going normal. And I knew all I have to do is pull up, put it in neutral, and it's going to carry me along like normal. And so that's what I did. And then the attendant came out with a sign doing this right here, basically telling me I'm doing wrong. And it provoked me. I rolled down the window and I said, do your job and quit being lazy. A preacher who's talking about love right now did this last week. Don't tell anybody. I want people to worship me. I'm just telling you, love is not provoked. I may have had the thought, but I did not have to let it come out of my mouth. Amen? Love is not provoked. And so, does not take into an account a wrong suffered. In other words, if somebody does you wrong, you don't keep it in your memory and put it on a list. In other words, if I'm operating from this love, the fruit of the Spirit, who's God in me by the Holy Spirit, if I'm operating in this, I cannot keep an account of a wrong done to me. Why? Because Jesus Christ died for all sins one time for how many sins? All. That means I'm going to hold them to account of something Jesus physically died for. We cannot do that. But it's hard not to. But this kind of love, we cannot hold people like a long list of everything you've done to me. If we are like that, do we need not to ask ourselves, why am I doing this? It's because they're not worshiping me if they're doing me wrong. So, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Saturday, St. Patrick's Day, I saw a lot of unrighteousness. I heard some filthy language, and I saw a lot of drunks. That's unrighteous, but listen, God still loves them. And they still can turn to Christ. But listen, if we rejoice in unrighteousness, what does that say about us? In other words, I'm enjoying this. Everybody's having a good time. I don't care about the language, people getting drunk. I'm just enjoying being. How can you rejoice in unrighteousness? That doesn't mean you have to be mean-spirited and unloving, but we shouldn't rejoice in it. Because this love we're talking about, agape, God's own love, my friend, rejoices with the truth. When it's the truth, we rejoice. This kind of love, listen to this, bears all things. You say, what does that mean? Listen, if you're a child of God, that means you're in Christ, and by the Holy Spirit, He's in you. He's the vine, you're the branch, the Holy Spirit is the sap. If you're there as a Christian, that means you can bear up under anything. But what did Jesus say? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, you say, well, how can I bear anything? He said, I can do nothing. It's because if He lives in you, He bears it through you as you abide in Him. But if you're seeking to be worshiped and not abiding in Him, and then loads come at you, you're on your own, so to speak, because you're not abiding. And so you have to bear burdens that God said, I will bear by my Spirit in you. So, bears all things, believes all things, talking about those things that are truthful, hopes all things, endures all things. You say, I can't endure what's going on in this world. My friend, in Christ you can. And by the Holy Spirit in you, you can. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done. When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. Verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly. On this earth, in this brief moment called time, we don't always see everything clearly. For now, on this earth, we see in a mirror dimly. But then, face to face, it's going to happen one day. You will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and you're going to see Mr. Agape Love. You're going to see him for the first time, and you're going to melt. But remember, if you're still a child of Satan, in love, he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. It'll be too late. For now we see in a mirror dimly, then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I also have been fully known. One day, my friend, we're going to stand before the Lord, going to see him as he is, and we're going to experience agape love measureless in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we're going to wish that we had known this while we were on this earth. Everything would have been different. We would have done everything differently. Verse 13, and I close with this. But now abide in faith. That word abide is over and over again in Scripture. Abide means to rest. It means when y'all walked in by faith, you sat down and you're resting in these chairs. In all of life, mind, will, emotions, every part of your being, you're to simply be like a child on the mother's breast, resting and taking nourishment from God, just like a baby does with a mother. Resting in Him. He says, and now abide faith. And now rest, faith, hope, love. These three. But which one is the greatest? Agape love. Romans 5:5 says, this particular love is shed abroad in the hearts of God's children. Well, then why am I not seeing it? It's because you're not abiding in Him. You're living to be worshiped, and you don't know that's what's motivating you. And I do the same thing, and I want to know this more deeply. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding Above Ministries with Chris Hodges. If you would like Chris to speak at your church or event, please go to our website, abidingabove.org. God bless you and make you a blessing.